Let's pray. There's an answer to my prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that's wrapped up in the gospel. All the riches, the treasures that we have in our inheritance of you. I thank you for that. I pray that that would shine through clearly, that we'd be ever more in love with you and ever more ready to walk by faith, for you are worthy. I pray that your word would be exposed, that you would renew our minds, that we'd put off the old man, put on the new man, and be renewed in our spirit of the spirit of our minds, that we would confess when we need to confess, that we would be confirmed by you where we need confirmation. We just pray ultimately that you'd be glorified, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians 4. You can put your finger there in Ephesians 4. Now, the scene opens up in a pub, this little Irish pub, where you hear celebration going on over in the corner, and this group of people over in the corner is celebrating. Hey, all right for Johnny, all right. And then Mick says, rounds on the house. And you're wondering, what's going on? It's a scene in Ladder 49, and what you see there is community. Firemen coming together. Not that all firemen come together at the Irish pub or anything. I don't know, Mark. I'm just saying.
You see me there on my other days.
But what you have is a brotherhood. You have a community. A community. People want to belong. They want a community. What you don't have is gospel. You don't have gospel. I'm talking specifically, that's not there representing the gospel in that community. They're celebrating. You know what they're celebrating? They're celebrating something good. They're not just there celebrating and drinking just to get drunk. They're celebrating this man's first child is on the way. He found out that day, hey, my wife is pregnant. And his brotherhood in the community says, all right for Johnny, he's going to have a kid. Woo! And then they look at his wife and they say, hey, you can't drink that, you're pregnant. No, drink it. Why? Because the brotherhood's going to watch out for you. All the guys in the firehouse, we're watching out for Johnny's wife because she's our sister. And we love her because we love him. And we go to war with them. We go into the burning building together. We go through the trials together. We live life together. That is our community. And we are bound to one another. And you bet we're celebrating right here at, what did I say, McGuffey's? Wherever. McGuffey's, O'Sullivan's. Rounds on the house because they're celebrating something good. And I would just say, it's good, but it needs the gospel. The gospel is the birthright of God's community. And what we're talking about tonight is gospel in community. You see a community there, but the community that we're speaking of is the church. The brotherhood, the sisterhood, those that are by covenant together in the church. That's where the gospel is preached and pervades everything, every aspect of life. When I say gospel, I'm talking specifically 1 Corinthians 15. We would start there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, specifically in the text, died, buried, rose again, and seen by the multitudes. 500, Paul. Death, burial, resurrection. Why? For the sins that if we would repent and believe in Jesus Christ, we could be saved. This is a nutshell. That's where it starts. It's not where it stops. It's where it starts. That's entrance into the kingdom. Mark 1, 14 and 15. It is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus said, he went forth and he said, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You too can be a part of the kingdom of God if you will repent and believe in the King. There is only one King, it's Jesus Christ. He died to pay the atoning sacrifice. The blood shed for anyone who's ever going to be saved must go through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the nutshell of the gospel. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. It keeps going. You see gospel all over in the Bible. And a subcategory is gospel in community, in church. We are united by covenant. Our first covenant, new covenant, with Jesus Christ individually. And then united together in community. And when we celebrate another pregnancy. No, we don't say another round on the house. But we do have our ways of celebrating. So while I look at them saying another round on the house, my heart breaks for them. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. They need to know that the reason it's good and you're celebrating that is because of who Jesus Christ is. So, in Ephesians, keep your finger right there and, well, just turn back a couple pages. We're going to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to blaze through chapter 1, 2, and 3. I want you to see the over-the-top doctrines that Paul brings up. Just in a quick flyover of chapters 1, 2, and 3. Let's start with verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, will you just stop and let that fuse your brain circuits together for a second? Over the top. I mean, if we really could understand how over the top this is huge. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and that's in Christ. We'll get to in Christ and what does that mean, but it's in Christ. Don't forget, it's in all those spiritual blessings in Christ. Just as He chose us, He chose you. He chose you and me. What did you do to get chosen? I'll answer for you. Nothing. No ting. All right? Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Go over to verse 5. Having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Adopted by the King? You realize how far that is? That is up Mount Everest. I mean, that is way up there. Unreal. I can't hardly. God adopted you. How do you tell someone that? God adopted me. You sound ludicrous, do you not? You're just hanging out and you're trying to sound all rational. Yeah, God adopted me. I don't know about you. God adopted me. That is over the top. Absolutely over the top. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. We've been redeemed. God paid the price to buy me. Well, I wasn't worth that much. The forgiveness of sins. You've been forgiven. What else matters? You're not going to hell for eternity. You've been forgiven. That is over the top. According to His riches of His grace. Oh, the riches of God's grace. God has riches in His grace. Riches that I can't even scratch the surface. You can line up a million Lamborghinis. That's not a drop in the bucket compared to the riches of God's grace. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. There it is again, in Christ. We'll get to more of that in a second. Continuing on in chapter 1, verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. What does that look like when God gives you an inheritance? Did you get an inheritance from mom and dad? Well, I can guarantee it isn't anything like the inheritance that comes when God, the creator of the universe, adopts you. Over the top. Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit, which dwelt in the temple, now dwells in you as a believer who has repented and believed in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That is out of this world. I got to keep. Let's go over to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may, this is Paul's prayer, that you may know that what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I can see why you're praying for me. I need prayer because I know I don't see it for all it is. It is unreal. I need prayers to open the eyes of my understanding that I might behold all of that glory. What is the greatness of his power? Verse 20, which he worked in Christ. There it is again, in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all in power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, not only in this age, but the age to come. Does that make, it covers everything, everywhere, for all time, both here and there. There's not anything that is left out. Nothing is left out. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head. Christ is the head over all things to the church. This is so over the top. Which is his body. There's a community. The fullness of him who fills all in all. And you, he made alive. If you have a ASV, or I think this is New King James. Who are dead in your trespasses of sin and sins. Chapter 2, go on over to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. So rich in mercy. And this is God's mercy. And this is riches untold because of his great love with which he loved us. You can camp out on that. Until you were dead in the grave. And how could we even stop for a second without this? We just, one day in heaven, when we're glory in glorified bodies, we'll grasp it. Right now, it's just a fraction. Just a fraction. His love for us in Christ, unreal. Oh. Go on to 2 verse 13. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's us Gentiles. Way out in the fringes, now we've been brought near. Guess what? You have access to the King of Glory. The fount where the glory comes out, you get to come right on in. If it's a fire hydrant, it's like coming right on up to that baby as it blasts in your face. I want it all, and you're trying to drink through a straw. Well, you can't drink it all in. There's just no way. Chapter 2, verse 18, for through him we both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Both Jew and Gentile have access to one, by the one Spirit to the Father. Access. You have access to God. Unreal. Going over to chapter 3, and we're just hitting on some highlights. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. There it is, that heirs, we are heirs, heirs with God of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which Paul became a minister. Go over to verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa! It's just mind-blowing if we stop to meditate on that. To know the love of Christ. Over the top. And then we get... Well, let me finish that chapter with verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen to that. It's so far above. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then what do you have Paul follow up with? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk in a... to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Huh? You want me to walk worthy of that? Impossible. That's impossible. What, are you kidding me? Do you not know who you're talking to? You're talking to Rob Huddleston. When I type sinner on my iPhone, you know, it puts everything in caps. I can't get it to go in lowercase. It's, you are a sinner. It just comes out in caps all the time. Do you know, Paul, who you're talking to? It's me. Look. You all can look at that. Sinner. And you want me to walk in a manner worthy of that? That's like putting me before Mount Everest. And saying, climb up Mount Everest, walk in a manner worthy, we'll see you by lunchtime. Lunch is on the house. It's not happening. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Paul comes along, he says, oh, but Rob, I'll help you out. Don't worry, Asbeth. I'll help you out. Our brother Paul, the apostle, comes and says, I'll help you. I'm going to show you, I'll reveal to you how you can do this. I'm going to show you, brother Asbeth, here's how you do it, right here. With all lowliness. Other Bibles, with all humility. Do you not know who you were talking to, Paul? I'm the proudest man alive. Are you kidding me? With all humility, you want me to walk worthy of that in all humility? It doesn't happen. Oh, but Rob, wait a minute, I'll help you. And gentleness. Will you just stop right there, Paul? I don't want to hear anymore, because the more you talk, the worse I feel. With all gentleness. Don't, Paul, it's because you don't have kids. You don't have children. You can get away with that when you don't have kids, but my kids know. Oh, but Rob, here, try this one. With long suffering. Do you not know who's in our church? Long suffering? He just doesn't get it. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Oh, but wait, it gets better. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. Oh, that one really helps. You pull out Jesus, the one who never sinned, who is God in the flesh, who did everything for me, and you want me to walk in a manner worthy of Him? You're nuts! Are you kidding me? No one walks in a manner worthy of Jesus. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And he died for my sins. Walk worthy. Have you lost your mind? One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Walk in a manner worthy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:4, if you will. Keep your finger there because we'll come back. Second Corinthians 4:4. We can start it. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, and here's the important part, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That sentence right there is so pregnant. Lest the light of the gospel of the gospel, euangelion, good news. Good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, you just can't pick any bigger pinnacle. He's the image of God. Should shine on them. What does that look like? When the image of the glory of God shines on you. He is the image of God. It's the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Back in the 70s, they had this advertisement for Maxell. It was a battery company that started using leftover material to make cassette tapes. Now, some of you, raise your hand if you remember the Maxell man. It was a guy that would sit on a chair, this big overstuffed chair, like this. He's kind of leaning back like this, had his hands over there, and it became iconic. So you see it in pictures. I've seen it on billboards before. And he was sitting there like this. And his butler came in this commercial. He had a suit on, tie and everything. There was a lamp there, a little desk there. Butler comes in, carrying a glass of wine, I think this is how it went, if I remember right. Carrying a glass of wine, gives it to him, and said, "Will you be having the usual, sir?" He says, "Please." So he goes over to the cassette. You had the old sound system right here with the speakers and everything. He puts in the Maxell tape, turns it on, and it's The Ride of the Valkyrie by Wagner. I knew that. I'm high culture. Right. And it comes on and you see it. It's one of these things where they turn it on, and the point was the perfection of the quality of Maxell cassette tapes. I'll let you know how old y'all are. And they play it and whoosh, you see his hair blow back, his tie blow back, the lamp's going shh, his glass of wine's going shh, and everything's just, it's crazy. It became an iconic symbol. Let me just say, have you ever met with Jesus? The position's different. We might be on our knees, but the effect, that's just a fraction of the effect. If you meet with Jesus and you come away like, oh, no big deal, it just was a concert. You don't meet with Jesus and come away without being humbled. It's utterly impossible to come out of meeting with, quote, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God shining on you, and not be humbled. Wow! Patience, forbearing. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 4:1 and look at it again. Before we get to 4:1, look back again at verse 18 of chapter 2. It says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Access. I've been watching some YouTubes trying to learn some business things. One of the things they like to do is try to get you going on some freebies, and then once you're kind of sucked in and you're like, oh, I want to watch some more, that's when you try to click on it and it says no access, or you know, for $499 you can have access to this. It's always, you know, the good stuff's right there beyond, and it's only $500. Well, no big deal, right? So, sorry, can't go there. No, can't go there. Where can I get the... Oh, you can have it, all these videos, and you can have all access for a mere $1,500. One-time special, going once, going twice. And here it is given to us, all access. And by the way, oftentimes they like to put the Lamborghini in the background, right? So you too, and here's the message, you too can have a Lamborghini for only $499. Just get your access to this. I'm going to give you 12 principles that's going to make you rich. You can have your happy life. It's just waiting there for you. A Lamborghini around the corner for you. And then you want to, there's this temptation for me. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't my problems just be so? And Jesus whispering silently in the background, not silently, to my heart, saying, sure, you can have a Lamborghini. You can have a Porsche. You can get your cars and drive all over, or you can have me. Ooh. Christ or Lamborghini? Well, tell me what you would pick. And I can probably tell you what community you're in. Because the community that I'm talking about would say, you can give me all that stuff. You can take all the health and the wealth, and you can guarantee it in heaven to come. And you can put it there and you can say, you can go straight there and have it all. It's just that Jesus won't be there. And what do you say? No thanks. Keep it. Because if Jesus is not there, I don't want to be there. I want to be where Jesus is. Because when it's Jesus, I don't need a Lamborghini. I can get anywhere he wants me to be, whenever he wants me to be there, however he wants to get me there. Oftentimes it might be an old Ford pickup truck. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Because as long as it's what Jesus gives me, and if it's not what Jesus gives me, I don't want it. Let me sit at his feet and be blown away by his glory, because it's about Christ. I don't want a cheap secondary substitute. No way. No way. And let me just ask you this. If you could think about what's going on in your life, if you could just have one thing, if you could just have, fill in the blank, if I could just have, quietly in your own mind, answer that question. What is it? If I could just have a smaller nose, If my eyes were just not so close together.
Come on, Rob, I'm right here.
Stay on track, Rob. If I could just have what? Fill in the blank, and if it is anything but Christ, it's no wonder humbling yourself is so hard. If it's anything but Christ, I'm not surprised that it becomes difficult for you to humble yourself, for me to humble myself. No surprise there. We don't want to settle for cheap substitutes. For me, I'll be honest, ongoing problem all my life. If I could just have 200 people in our church, Ah, joy. Is that a little too much transparency? Well, it's there. It's ugly. If I could just have 200 people, 300 people. Well, why stop there if we're going for pride and ego? Why not? If I could just have 2,000. In Coolidge, that's more than the town. Well, why stop there? Why? Because as long as those are what provide joy for me, happiness for me, as long as that's what makes me fulfilled, then that's the last thing I need. I need Christ. I don't need to be built up in my, we'll call it a secondary strength. Well, look at me. I'm Pastor so-and-so. And all of a sudden I walk into the pastor's meeting and I got 2,000 people coming in a city that's got 200 people. They flock! Do you think pastors aren't walking into pastor's meetings and they feel good because they have the bigger number? They talk about it all the time. Don't find your, quote, self-esteem in some idol, whatever it is. That doesn't make you any more or any less. You're a sinner. That's an idol. And if you lean on that, you're not going to be humble. And what are you going to do to the community where the gospel is supposed to humble you? Humble me so that the gospel in community makes me one humble man. I stop looking at you as another number, as an object that fulfills my self-esteem. And oh, don't we need that? Here's another one. If I could just have a full paycheck. You know, money just abases my fears. You live from month to month, paycheck to paycheck. You just, how are we going to pay for this? Is that really what you want to put your fears at bay? Really? Money flies away. You're going to find your security in money? It just flies away. Huh. It's another idol. That can't abase your fears. What we need to do is get before the living Christ where the glory is and let that blow our minds. But that takes faith. And there's where repentance and faith steps in. And that is what it is for the community. Gospel, come to Christ where you have all access to the King of Glory. And you come before the King of Glory and our minds and spirits are blown and changed and humbled, desperately humbled. And you put that in community, the good news of all access to all in the community, the church. And there is no longer any problem with lowliness and humility. Back at Ephesians 4, verse 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, no problem. Because I just met with Jesus and I have been humbled. So when I look at you, and even when you're angry at me, and you're just spewing forth, and 95% of what you have to say is just because you're angry about something that may or may not have happened within the community. And I look at you and I say, in humility, now I've been with Christ and I've been humbled and I can't wait to go out and love you and say, let me have the 5% that I did wrong to you. Let's make much of it so that I can get it right with you. I want to humble myself. I can't wait to humble myself and love you. Because when I met with Christ, I was so humbled that He would love me. I said, who am I that I should hold anything against anybody for anything? So loving you and humbling myself, even if you didn't come and confront me the right way, so what? I just can't wait to grab hold of my 5%, which I am guilty of, and confess and say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't know that when I did that, that's how you felt. I didn't mean to make you feel that way. And some, would you not be ready to admit, you've been harboring bitterness for something silly, something somebody has done in the church. They don't need to change. We need to get before the living Jesus. And it needs to humble us. So that we just cannot wait to say, so what? You did it wrong. Who am I? Who am I that the love of God with the inheritance of God and the grace of God all wrapped up in Christ, and He gives me all access where I come before the King of Glory and I walk out and I act like, oh, you sure didn't do me right. No. We should be like the Peter. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me, Lord. Have you even talked negatively about somebody in the church? Have you even talked negatively to your wife about somebody in the church? Why? And have you gone to that person and said, how did you feel when I did this? What is my 5%? That's the community. With all lowliness, long-suffering. Let me key in on this word. Makrothumia. Compound Greek word. Macro, large, long. As opposed to micro. Thumia. That word coming from the word ultimately that means lust, desire. A boiling up, a bubbling up of desire. You know when you feel it. When you get angry, it's burning up inside of you. It's, I'm going to explode. We even talk about it in terms of, I'm going to explode on this person. Those two words put together, it's long in your boiling up. In other words, it's like a wave that looks like it's building up, going to, and then it just kind of subsides. Just doesn't become, if you're a surfer, you're bummed. But if you're not a surfer, you realize, okay, that wave just didn't pan out. Well, that's long suffering. Now, I like to reckon it to spiritual tums. Spiritual tums. Hey, if you have GERD, you know what I'm talking about. Now we're in the community where I'm no longer in the Southern Baptist community where I used to be, and we had fried chicken every meal when we get together, and it was fellowship meal over fried this, fried that, and you'd walk out and you would have heartburn. Anyone ever experienced heartburn? Don't be shy. I've had heartburn before. It burns right there. But you never have to worry about it because your wife, who is so good to love you, she's right there with tums. So when it starts burning and boiling up, you know, you're like, oh, honey, I'm having heartburn. I shouldn't have ate that last jalapeno. Speaking of, I ate a jalapeno the other day. I thought it was just your regular pepper. They were supposed, hey, I asked the girls, hey, do we have any, all these are just regular bell peppers, right? Yeah, yeah. And so I pulled out, I'm thinking, this looks like a jalapeno, but I trust my daughter. I'm telling you, it's so bad. I'm not going to tell you Mariah's name. I mean, she's standing behind me. I'm eating this jalapeno, and I kid you not, if you've ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and laugh. That's fine. May your wife slide in a jalapeno to humble you. Anyway, I ate this jalapeno, and I was burning. My eyes were watering, and I'm like, I couldn't stop, and I thought I was going to die. I'm thinking, oh, this is horrible. I'm burning, burning, burning. And she's back there laughing. I'm thinking, I don't have time to meet with Jesus and get humbled and gentle on you right now. I can't. So I think I said nicely, now's not a good time for you to laugh, sweetheart. It was burning so bad. And I'm talking about thumos boiling up in you. And you need to have it subside. It's like when you plop that Tums in. I don't know what it is. I hear it's like chalk. Somehow it tastes a little better than walking up the old chalkboard and saying, excuse me, teacher, can I have that? It just seems a little bit better. But I hear it's like chalk. I put it in and... Take, now listen, when a brother comes up and he just hasn't, he's looking at you, you haven't done him right for something you don't even know about, and he is upset, mad, and he is in your face, and you respond with this kind of humility, patience, long-suffering, forbearance, what does that do to him? When he's, you did me wrong, and then by you made my wife cry. Brother, I'm sorry. I do not know what happened. Please, I don't know what happened, but I did not mean to make you mad or your wife mad and upset or whatever it is. But when you respond like that with long forbearance, what does that do? It's like spiritual Tums for him. He's really the guy that needs some serious Tums, right? That response, spirit-led, spirit-filled, long-suffering to that person who is angry is like spirit, is like spiritual Tums. That's gospel played out in community. Gospel came in. I repented and believed in Jesus Christ. I had all access where I come before the King of Glory. It humbled me, and I walk away saying, who am I that God would pour out that kind of love on me? Forgiving you is easy. So I come to you, and you're angry, and I give you spiritual Tums because my interaction with you says, I want to empathize, genuinely empathize with what's going on in your life. I want to feel what you feel. James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. What usually happens is angry blow up. So I respond with angry blow up. You ever done that with your wife? Well, I didn't, it was rhetorical. Yeah, that's me, brother. Thank you, Jerry, for crowd participation. But you know, yeah, we laugh because we know everyone. We've all done that. You respond angry, she responds angry back. Instead, we need to be spiritual Tums where she responds angry and I come back in the spirit saying, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you felt like that. Tell me, how does it feel when I do this? Tell me what's really going on. That's helpful. And you know what? Oftentimes they come back and say, ah, it's really no big deal. Right? I understand. Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have blown up. Not everybody. But it happens. And nonetheless, it's still our calling if we walk together. This is, you have in the first three chapters all doctrine, in the last three chapters all duty. In this passage right here, in just six short verses, you have behaviors and then beliefs. These are the behaviors that should accompany the community that's been affected by the gospel. Long in thumos. When we empathize, what does that do to their boiling soul? That's spiritual Tums. We are one body. We continue on. One body. Colossians 1:18 says that the head of that body is Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the body. I used to work in a mortuary. You know what they do in the mortuary? Okay, let me just go ahead and jump in real specifically. This was my learning experience. If you're a mortician, I may mess this all up. I'm just telling you what I saw and it took in through my little spectacles. So you would have the body there on the table, and the way they embalm you is they cut your artery here and pump embalming fluid down this artery throughout your whole body. That's how they get the embalming fluid throughout the whole body. Now, if there's bad circulation or whatnot, they may have to make cuts elsewhere, different arteries, and then put it in there too. But if there's good circulation, they just put it right in here. They pump it all the way through the body. It's because the connection between the head and the rest of the body pumps all that, but well, your heart does it, but it's come in one spot. Goes all the way through the body. Christ is the head of the church. If you cut the head off, there is no Christ going through the body. There is no mind of Christ going through the body. You can't disconnect the head. You can't disconnect every individual believer before the risen Christ, being blown away by His gospel, His glory, as we have all access to come before Him and be humbled by the love that He gives to us that we do not deserve. The whole body, one body, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All the community has the Holy Spirit. One hope. One hope. Our future reward is a hope in a resurrection, in an inheritance that is to come. That's why we can be patient. Because I'm not worried about right here, right now. They did a test. They did back in 1960. They did this test where they took four-year-olds and they offered them, I believe it was a cookie, wasn't it? A cookie. You could have a cookie. Or marshmallow. That's what it is. Yes. The university did it. You can take a marshmallow or 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, I'll give you two marshmallows. And very few would wait 15 minutes for the two marshmallows. Most of them would take that first marshmallow, and then they followed that study for 40 years. The ones that took the second marshmallow had a noticeable improved life. Life decisions. Okay, well then they come back, and I think it was 2012, they did another experiment along the same lines with the marshmallows. Only before they did that, they divided them up into two camps. One camp, they told them things and then they didn't follow through with it. The other group, they told them things and they followed through with it, so they developed a trust. As you can imagine, this group, a higher percentage, just ate the first marshmallow because they didn't believe that anything was coming. When they said there'll be another one, if you just wait 15 minutes, we'll give you another marshmallow. They didn't believe it was coming. They ate the marshmallow. The one. The other group, they had developed a trust. And they waited. There was a higher percentage that would wait for the second marshmallow. The point is this. Develop your trust sitting before the Jesus who you can trust, who you can build faith. I read an article in Psychology Today that his name was, I think it was Neil Burton. His last line was something to the effect of, it just goes to show you it depends on faith. He wasn't a believer, but he recognized faith plays such a key role. Well, sometimes when you're in the privacy of your own prayer closet and you're sitting before Jesus, does it feel like the Maxell commercial where the glory of Jesus is blowing you away? We do that by faith, and we do it, and we do it, and we do it because we know it's true. And we know that our hope is in a reward yet to come. I don't have to make sure I get everything out of Asbed. I don't have to make sure that he knows how he wronged me. He didn't really. I just picked you out because I don't have any offense against you. That's why I couldn't do it with, you know, Kirk. I'm just kidding. I have no offense against you either. It's really Mark. But I'll talk to him about it later. I'm just kidding. Pressing on. One hope. One Lord. The question remains, would you be happy in heaven without Christ? One Lord. It's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Talk about putting an end to postmodern thought. Objective truth resides in Jesus. And we have all access to come before the one who is objective truth forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, whose salvation, there is no salvation apart from Christ. Period. One faith. Jude 1, 3 to 4 says, contend for the faith. We're talking about the faith that's given to the church, the faith, the doctrines of the faith. The overall is not just a personal faith that you have. I trust in the promises of Christ. It's the faith that we contend for. Why? Because it's a faith that changed the world and is changing the world. It is the faith of the glorious gospel in Jesus Christ. The faith that says by the church proclamation that if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you too can be saved. You too can have all access to Jesus Christ. It's the faith to contend for all ages. Why? Because there's no other answers. There is no other answers in life. For the world, one baptism. It's one baptism. Now you're in Christ. When you are in Christ, when you repent and believe, you become in Christ. Now let me help with that. Because in Christ, we could say in church. When you're in Christ, you are in the universal church. Being in Christ puts you in the church universal. No one can stop you from that. You repent and believe, you're in the new covenant, you're in the church universal. But it has a local manifestation, a local expression. That's why you go to a church and you become in a church. You're in Heritage Baptist. You're a part of that church. You're in that church. Why? You want to know how you get out of that church? I mean, one easy way that we talk about is if you were to commit a sin that's a black and white sin. I'm not talking about a minor, you're just not patient. I'm talking about something that is black and white. You've committed adultery. Your brothers come to your house and they're calling you, praying for you, asking you to repent. Cry out in repentance. You can be forgiven. We love you. We want you in the fellowship. We want you in the fellowship. And if you don't repent over a certain amount of time, guess what? They will cast you out of the church. Matthew 18. That's what it says. Then you're out of the church, and guess what? They treat you as a Gentile. What does that mean? You are out of Christ. Can they take you in or out of Christ? No, but they can make a proclamation that says, brother, your actions, what you just did, that you're not repenting of, makes your salvation questionable. We love you, and we want to see you repent and come into fellowship in the church. You claim to be in Christ, then you need to repent of what is obvious. It's a black and white issue. It's not a small issue. It's a major issue. And you repent and you come into the church. Exactly what happened in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5. You repent and you come back into the church. The church forgives you. Why? Because they meet with Jesus and they're humbled and they realize you're no worse off than they are. Enough of this. I don't want to go to a church because it's full of judgmental people. Well, just go and be one of them because you are too. I mean, no, it's in the fellowship that's in the gospel, in the community, in Christ, where we recognize before Christ, I am humbled. And if you did it, it's because the same sinner in you is in me. I could do it too. And then what you can go on and you have one baptism. In baptism, Romans 6. What does it mean to be in one baptism? MacArthur would say it's about water baptism. I'm not going to argue. But it's at least this much. You are baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 1 to 4. You are baptized. It's exactly what... Turn to Romans 6, if you will. Verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You, when you come into Christ, you are placed in Christ. In, you are baptized into, you are associated, you are connected, you are joint with that death, burial, and resurrection. As we go into the water, it represents us dying to self and come out of the water, living unto Jesus. We are in Christ in our baptism. We are baptized in the Spirit. It's at least that much, of which MacArthur would agree. And then you would get into... Okay, if it's water baptism, we're talking about Presbyterian or Baptist. Well, just a note, side note on that. You notice that the things right here in Ephesians 4, they're so big, so broad strokes. One faith, one Spirit, one body, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he stops right there. He doesn't even get into the mode of baptism. Sometimes we can sure strain it a gnat. Can you have fellowship with a Presbyterian? I sure can. I'm not worried about it. Because he recognizes that in Christ, you are baptized in Christ. You can be saved and have disagreements. That doesn't mean that doctrine is not important. This is talking about doctrine. Doctrine is crucial. Doctrine is what unifies. This is unity in the community. I didn't mean to rhyme. Unity in the community. You can remember that. Unity in the community, and it goes back to doctrine. Why? Because behavior is based on belief, and our belief is in all these major, major doctrines. One God and Father of all. In you all. In Christ, and Christ in you. Christ is in you. Christ is in me. What a community. The gospel and community. Where walking by faith, by our beliefs, gives everyone all access to meet with Christ. And having met with Christ, the community is humbled and they become spiritual tongues to each other. They're humble in their dealings with one another. And it causes us all to want to deal with each other in a humble and loving way. Do you know why they make you pay for all access? I learned this too. They make you pay for all access on these websites. Because they found that if you don't pay, you end up not coming back. If there's not skin in the game, you just lose interest. They will tell you, right up front, we charge for this information because we know that if it were free, you might get interested for a little while and then you'd lose interest. Why? Because it happens over and over. They know how to rope you in. They know how to keep you coming back. And if you don't have any skin in the game, you lose interest. All access must cost. No pay and you stop coming back. The temptation is to take that in the community. Start taking it for granted. Stop coming back. I stop investing in the community. It's just blasé now. It's not the enthralling, amazing glory of God. I don't really need it. Really? You don't really need it? Why did Jesus, the King of Glory, give it then? How can we just take Mount Everest lightly? All the doctrines lightly? How can we get to the point where it's just something that is just blasé? The community, the gospel in community, the world, it's the birthright of the church, and the world longs for it. The world longs for it and tries to find it at McGuffey's. But the gospel's not there. Well, it may be if you show up and you're telling people to repent and believe. But of all things, the gospel is in the church. The gospel in community is the birthright to, it's your birthright to be blown away by the glory of God in Jesus Christ. If there is no Jesus in heaven, then we say, we don't want heaven. We don't want heaven. And the world around us should think, that's strange. And we'd take heaven. In fact, that's the whole point. They want the healing, the money, the wealth. They just don't want Jesus. What did Jesus say? And this is really where the verse that just stands out. They will know you are my disciples by what? Your love for one another. Could have said your spiritual tums to one another. That would be a little weird. They didn't have tums back then. They used seaweed from Dead Sea. I'm just kidding. You with me? All right. But they'll know you by your love for one another. The gospel in community does that. And the world around us should see something lacking in their community. And they should be able to see that there's a difference in that community in the church. Their love for one another, there's a lot of correlations. They celebrate births, but their love for one another, there's just something different there. It stands out. Let me just close by saying the gospel has given us all access to Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, to look upon His face and be changed radically, so radically that everything else pales in comparison. All the Lamborghinis, we say, no way. All the health, we say, no way. All the health, we say, no. Alex would say, give me Jesus. Would he not? Give me Jesus. And so, tonight, I come and I say, if I were your butler, and I say, the usual, sir? Yes. Yes. Give me the usual. Give me Jesus. And let me be blown away. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in your presence, everything else fades away completely, as it should. I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight, if they have not come into your presence before, through repentance and faith, belief in you, if they've never experienced and trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, I ask that you would open the eyes of their understanding. Lord, where there is bitterness, anger, disfellowship anywhere in the body, it's because we haven't come into your presence and sought your face. We've found it in some secondary strength that is worthless and pales in comparison to being with you. Please forgive us and please draw that out. May we rush to be at your throne of glory. May we be blown away and humbled, that we would be long-suffering and forbearing and wanting to flush out root sins and bitternesses in the body, your body. That's what you've done, as you have brought us into your presence and given us everything far beyond all that we could ever imagine. Oh, may that be our heart's cry, Lord. Give me Jesus. Nothing else matters. I pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen.
As you can see, Mr. Ronzik has the bonfire going down there. So it's time to go roast some s'mores there. So parents, we would just ask you to mind your watch your kids around.